Thank you for tuning in to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us at our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to a message inspired by God.
I wanted to say to the pastor, it is a privilege this morning. It's a great privilege to come alongside and support the ministry of this wonderful church. And I have to tell you, in those 40 years, well, been to a lot of seminars. Back in the day, that's all you did, right, Pastor Kay? But I want to tell you something, folks. You may not understand this, but you're in the best seminar you could possibly be in right here in this church. Amen. And the reason I say that is because in seminars, you hear a lot of people that speak. You hear a lot of people tell different things and different thoughts and different ideas. But with a collection of the pastors, like Pastor Kay and others here that Pastor Fry has just mentioned, what you have to understand is you have 50, 40, 40, 40 years of experience. People that have walked by faith, that have been through more things than we can imagine for each and every one of you. And to be able to come for me on Sunday morning and hear them, and to hear them share their message. On Wednesday night, Dave spoke, Pastor Dave. And I thought, man, I haven't heard seminars like that. Why? Because I hear stories of faith. You see, I want to know people that have walked through it. I want to know people that have survived the problems and the stories and the situations of this world. You know, If you want to talk to somebody about marriage, don't go to the person that's been divorced 8 times. Well, maybe that would work. But you want to know about money and finances, man, don't go to somebody that's been bankrupt 10 times. You want to know about God, then come to this fellowship and hear what the men of God have to say. And I have to tell you, after all of my years, Mary and I are so blessed. We really are. We know many of you people. This is an amazing thing that has happened to us. Some of our parishioners from Delta, the last church that we pastored before they finally shut it down. I don't know if I had anything to do with that, but I hope not. Barb, that just sang, I was telling Pastor, she sang at the Sylvania Church of the Nazarene where I was saved, 1973-74. Lynn Bryant, oh, Lord. What I mean, she was a friend, her and Dave, for years and years and years, and there's so many more of you here. Alyssa, I don't know where you're sitting. I think you're right over there, baby. God bless you. She came to my church in Swanton that we built years ago. I won't say years and years because she's not that old. And then last night, and since we have come here to get to know you folks, I mean, to come into a fellowship, listen to me, young people. I'm going to tell you something. If I were a young person, and I had the privilege of coming and sitting underneath the mentoring and the presence of these folks. You see, it's not just the pastors. It's some of you have walked in the faith for years and years. You faced some struggles. You've had some hard times. You've had some losses. What I'd want to know is, what kept you? How did you make it through? Because young people, you're not going to be exempt from the things of this world. The Bible tells us that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. And so this morning, I am privileged. I am so privileged. Many times in my life, I thought it was time to hang up my spurs. I use that because I lived in California as a kid before I met my wife out here in Swanton, Ohio. My dad and I rode horses. We were cowboys. When you hung up your spurs, it was all over with. But it's not over with. Not until God says, you're finished. So this morning, what I want to do is, and I understand we're 2 weeks away from one of the greatest events that ever took place in the history of this world. That's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen? You see, if it weren't for that hope, folks, we would have no hope at all. If it weren't for that hope, we'd be just like a leaf on a tree, and it falls to the ground, and it would just turn back into the soil, and that's the way it would go. But I have to tell you this morning that I have a hope because I know, I don't doubt, I don't question, I am absolutely certain that I will see Jesus and God in eternity. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. I know that it's 2 weeks away, and the Lord's going to have to answer why he took me to the book of Daniel. Moving from what's happening in the New Testament to the Old Testament, but I know why after I read his word. I want to read from Daniel chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. Then he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. These are small g's. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of the court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect. This will probably relate to some of you young men here. Without any physical defect, handsome, like that, right? Some of you are getting that. Showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. And he was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. Now, ladies, I didn't leave you out, because if you find a guy like that, you're a very lucky person, let me tell you. The king assigned them to a daily amount of food and wine, and they ate from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, to Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. You know, we're confronted with decisions and choices every single day. I saw this little anonymous poem, which I've heard probably frequently over the years, but I thought it might remind you of a few things. Because today, I've kind of titled this message, When Things Go Wrong, What Will You Do? When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, and the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow, you may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, a silver tint in the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It might be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. You see, the reason that I wanted you to hear this message today is this. I know about life's struggles. I know that you know about life's struggles. Nobody gets through this world without having some struggles. The question is, when you are confronted with struggles, where will you draw the line in the sand and refuse to cross that line? You see, we live in a world where the current of change is so powerful, it's not hard to be blown around like a leaf in the wind. I mean, there are winds of circumstances that come. There are winds of difficulties. And some of you, even this morning, may be dealing with some of those winds. There's winds for you young people of peer pressure. There are winds of temptations that will come your way. And certainly there are winds that will try to get you to compromise. They'll swallow you up if you're not clear about what you believe and who you believe in. Years ago, I had a junior church teacher in my church, and she got a little saying off of the internet. Now, sayings are okay, but you better know what you believe before you grab a saying and broadcast it to everybody, because it sounds warm and fuzzy, but it can be very deceiving. And this one basically said that if your behavior would determine your belief. I thought that's kind of interesting. As I passed it in the hallway, I kept seeing it on the bulletin board. Sounds good, doesn't it? Your behavior will determine your belief. And then I started thinking, well, she's teaching young kids. Obviously, as I talked to her later on, she was having some issues with behavioral problems. But you see, as good as it sounds, it's not true. Your belief determines your behavior. What you believe as far as spiritual life, for example, do you believe God? Do you believe that, as was said this morning, that Jesus Christ came to forgive you of your sins, to give you hope, and to give you eternal life, to give you purpose and meaning in life? If you believe that, it will determine your behavior. Why? Because you'll have an attitude of gratitude. You know, I was a young person, and I got saved at the age of 26. I had a sinful life. I thought that I was on track. You know, when you're young, you think you got the tiger by the tail. And then you realize you really don't. And one day, I met Jesus. One day, when I was at the depths of despair, Christ made himself known to me. No one in the room but me and God. And the only thing I said, in case you're wondering, because I was raised with a prayer that I knew, it was the only thing I knew, "Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." I said, "God, I don't know how to pray. I don't even know if you're there. I really don't even know if you exist. But if you are, I need you." And an unbelievable transition within the next year happened. I don't have time this morning. By the way, the pastor told me, take all the time I want. He says, after all, he said, you have 20 minutes. Now, anybody that knows me, to shut up in 20 minutes is just almost, especially my wife, is impossible. The truth of the matter is, what you believe will determine the rest of your life, and I'm going to tell you why. It did with Daniel. You see, if you look at what I just read, Daniel was in his home. He was in Jerusalem, and the king of the Babylonians came and besieged the city and took a hold of Jehoiakim, put him in bronze shackles, carried him away, who, by the way, was a king that God said was evil in the sight of God's eyes. God used Nebuchadnezzar to remove him out of position. In that, the king Nebuchadnezzar said, "I want some of these young men because I want to train them for 3 years, and I want them to be Babylonians." Well, here's the kicker. Daniel came along with his three friends and others. And you would think, as I look at the book of Daniel, which, by the way, after Easter, this is a plug, I'm going to do 5 Wednesday nights on the rest of this book. We're going into the first 6 chapters, which is awesome. But Daniel, young people, do you understand this? If you're like me, you're thinking, Daniel, the old man Daniel. Daniel was 15 years old. Wow. Taken from his home. 1,500 miles away from his home. He's 15 years old. And the scripture says that Daniel refused to eat the food of the Babylonians. Now, once you understand where you stand, then the truth is you will resolve to do what is right in God's eyes when things seem to go wrong, for God is at work. Please don't miss that. You see, in our humanity, we forget something. We are not God. God never sleeps. He's on duty 24 hours. He's the God that works in the night. And when you and I see things that seem to go wrong, when things go wrong, please remember this truth this morning, that God is at work. Daniel's world was falling apart. The city has been taken. And the Lord has stayed in and done wonderful things. The Bible says in Daniel 2, and the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Now, what I want to say this morning is this. God was active all the way through the first chapter. As a matter of fact, he was active at least 3 times. He was active in Daniel's day. He was at work in Daniel's day. He's at work in your day. He's at work right now in your life, no matter how bad things appear to be. And also remember this, that things are not always what they appear to be. Mary and I built a church in Swanton. We finished 2 building programs, 15 years, and we were pretty tired. We thought, well, we'll be as fortunate as Pastor Fry is. We'll stay here 30, 40 years and just have a great ministry, and it's just going to work out that way. But I have to tell you something, God had other plans. And one day, God kind of came to me, and Edward said, "I want you to move on." I said, Lord, you're crazy. Where are we going to move to? Well, then I really thought he was crazy when he told me, I want you to interview in New Jersey. New Jersey? Where would you ever get a Midwesterner to go to the East Coast? Have you ever been to the East Coast? We had one pastor come from the East Coast, came over to Ohio, by the way, where your daughter's working at the Defiance Nazarene Church. He lasted about 1 year. It's very tough for people from the East to come to the Midwest. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's that tough guy image they got out there, you know? Maybe it's the traffic. I got hit 9 times. I was only there 2.5 years. Wasn't my fault. So, long story short, we go for the interview. And in the meantime, someone else calls, and there's this little quaint church down in Ashland, Kentucky. Oh, man. We stopped there first, met with the board. Oh, dream. It was as pretty as this church. I mean, they had marble stones up here. Beautiful church. Beautiful pews, white pews, just like that. Great, beautiful, overlooking on a mountain, overlooking a big valley. They were building a big, brand new parsonage. We had an interview, and that thing went so smooth. And one guy said, well, you know what? We'll have to call you because we need to talk it over. I said, okay, that's fine with me. We took off to New Jersey, had an interview in New Jersey. Come back to New Jersey, and I'm saying, Lord, I'm grateful you're taking care of me because that thing in Ashland looks pretty sweet. Those people are nice, and man, they have room for growth. And guess what? The phone rings. It's New Jersey. Now, I'm not kidding. This actually happened. And the district superintendent says, Pastor Dave, I want you to know it's a unanimous vote. They want you in New Jersey. I said, okay, Lord, your will be done, not mine. 15 minutes later, I'm not exaggerating. Phone rings. It's Ashland, Kentucky. Dave, we wanted you to know the board voted and it's unanimous decision. Now, I had to stay true to what God was saying. And I said, mind you, not that I didn't think, well, maybe I can make a phone call and renege on that New Jersey thing. And I said, I said, okay, God, I'll go where you've called us to go. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't accept that. I've already accepted a call. Now, my friends, some of you today are dealing with questions, and I want to answer some of those questions why I am dealing with this passage. You see, when those winds come along, a lot of us get caught up in the struggles of life, and we get caught up in the whys of life. And sometimes the whys of life, we just struggle and struggle and struggle. And I want to tell you something about the whys of life. You can't answer the whys of life. I told Jeff Kipling last night that being from New Jersey, yeah, the Garden State Parkway. And I said, I just couldn't understand why you drive on a parkway and park in a driveway. There's a why. And I'll tell you, for you young people, why do they call them hamburgers? Huh? When they're made out of beef. I don't get that. I mean, there's too many whys in life that comes along and you say, man, I don't understand that. Now, for those of you that are apartment dwellers, let me ask you this. Why do they call them apartments when they're stuck together? Can't be possible. In our own lives, we wonder why. And I really, when I got to New Jersey, I really wondered why. Trust me, I was in Toms River, New Jersey, Al Capone's little resting place on white beaches, the second largest senior citizen resort or retirement community in the United States. We had retired seniors from upstate New York and retired seniors from Newark and all the way down, and they're all retired there. And I'm going to tell you something about retirement communities. My brother over here, God bless you, he said he was 90. He didn't stand up. He shook my hand, but he said, I have a privilege. I'm going to sit right down there because I'm 90 years old. And actually, he has seniority to do whatever he wants. But when it was out there, when they were 90, they're walking around with weights. They've had two or three triple heart bypasses. Now, the downside is they're driving on the shoulder of the road thinking it's a lane. Yeah. They stop in the middle of the road, and they're a mile from the traffic light. I mean, my wife worked at Walmart, and if you ever see a bunch of Sicilians come and get into the return line in Walmart in Jersey? Them Sicilians, I'll tell you something, no offense to you, you're wonderful Italians, I appreciate you, but good Lord, I've never seen anybody, they have Donnybrooks, 90-year-old people having fisticuffs in the middle of the line because you don't cut in front of a Sicilian in Walmart to return goods. It's quite a life. And, you know, I realized while we were there that God was doing something different. And I accepted what God was doing, but I didn't know this. I didn't know that Mary and I were going to go for a walk in the morning, and I got a half a block from home, and I had such strong angina in my chest that I was rushed to the hospital, and the next day I had triple bypass in Paterson, New Jersey at 45 years old. And even then, I was having the whys. Why would you take me from where my wife is born and raised, and all of a sudden we're out here in the middle of nowhere? And honestly, I couldn't understand the language. I'm just being candid. I mean, I'd go to get gas, and the guy would say, fill her up. That's all he knew, was fill her up. And I'd have to say yes, because he couldn't speak English. And I thought, why am I out here, Lord? I don't do this. And so I'm in this hospital, and I'm looking at my family, and my daughter came all the way from Ohio out of college. My kids' boys were with me. And I'm looking at the end of the bed, and I had that peace that passes all understanding. I was totally content that, God, you have your will, your way, this is the way it is. And I had the surgery. After, they hung me like that rubber chicken and they put all that orange stuff on you. I had it. Yeah, it was terrible. You don't have any modesty in hospitals, let me tell you. And I had the surgery. I had the surgery, and I come out of the surgery, and God has blessed me with the surgery, and I'm in recovery. This actually happened. I had a Jewish man who was the head of surgery. I had a Christian who was his assistant. When I got out of the surgery, I'm in recovery, and I wake up, and the assistant comes over and comes next to me, and he says, this is exactly what he said, I have a message for you from God. Now, I wasn't, you know, under anything where I was hallucinating. The guy really came. I said, you have a message? He says, yeah. God told me to tell you this was his gift to you. Now, I didn't quite grab it, but I know he said it. But now I testify to you, 23 years later, it was God's enormous gift to me. Amen. And you know what? I'm still moving, thank God. You see, when you make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, when you face life's circumstances and trials, when, you know, the cancer comes, I'm not afraid of the word this morning. It's been in my family. Pastor talked last week about it. Death is something that happens to all of us. And it's the number one thing that the devil wants us to fear. But guess what? Jesus Christ overcame death. Amen. That's why he came. Amen. I'm not so worried about Satan anymore. I have victory over the grave. Yeah. And so when those things come, when financial crisis may attack your home, when you're going through an emotional struggle, and that could be anxiety, panic attacks, all of that stuff that comes with it, and you wonder, why did I lose my job? Why did this take place? Why this disappointment, God, when that comes? We have to come alongside of Daniel and hear what Daniel says. You see, Daniel, in the first part of the scripture that I read to you earlier, said that Daniel, and if you can get this truth, I'll be done, because that's all you need. Maybe I'll give you a little more. Pastor, am I doing okay? Because, I know. He's used to talking on the radio and TV and all that stuff. Man, I'll tell you, you got to be short and brief and brevity. And Pastor Kay told me you should be able to say what you got to say in 5 minutes. And I thought, well, I need to talk to him later on, because how he does it, I don't know. Here's the key. The scripture says that Daniel resolved in his heart. You know what that means? I'll tell you what it means short. It's been with me for many years. It's my key to survival. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it for me. Amen? Amen? Amen. You got to resolve in your heart. And you do that by your faith in Christ, by the infilling of the Spirit of God, walking a Spirit-filled life, living a life that is committed to Him, by believing that God is in control. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said these words, "We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling our plans." You must be resolved, because God's going to interrupt your plans. The best laid plans of men and mice, God's going to interrupt them. If you don't believe me, think about it. How about the Virgin Mary? God sure messed up her plans. Right? And look at the struggles and the trials she went through. And so as I look at this, I'm thinking to myself, when God messes up your plans, it's okay. And by messing up your plans and Daniel's plans, he experienced God in ways he never would have seen. Ways that God does things that you and I could never imagine. And the reason is this. We're all traveling on a road. We're heading for a home. It's not a place that the preachers will tell you on TV sometimes, where it's all hunky-dory and everything's going to be fine. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. It's a road of disappointments. My wife told me one time when she lost a couple of her children in the family, she said, my mom said, well, honey, it's okay, because I've had so many disappointments in my life. God will get me through. So this morning, I want to encourage you to be resolved in your heart that you're going to serve God. Serve Him with all your heart. I testify this morning from years of experience. I've been with the same woman 51 years. That's a miracle in itself. I testify about that. That she could put up with me for that many years. Isn't that amazing? My friends, get it down right now. Resolve in your heart that God is God. And guess what? He's going to have His way and His will and do what He wants. But here's the good news. Easter's coming. Easter's coming. No matter what you're going through today, though the trials may seem strong, though the winds of temptation could be almost devastating, though disappointment may be right on your doorstep, God's still at work. He hasn't quit. and he's working for those of you who believe in his name. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you today for the grace that you give to each one of us. I thank you for this church that has been so redeeming to Mary and I's life. I thank you for the fellowship of the believers that we are getting acquainted with, who express so much love that you have given to them, even though I know they've had seasons of disappointment and discouragement. They still allow you to love through them. And I pray today that those that are here that might be tempted this morning to just throw it all away, I pray, Lord, that you'll let them see that you're just around the corner. You're waiting and working on their behalf. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, please contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us on our website, heritagechurchofgod.org. This has been a production of Heritage Outreach Ministries.